The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, we continue on Get Up here, and with Marcus Spears joining the party. Swagoo, I just want you to tell us what you're seeing here. This is Georgia State head coach Sean Elliott. This is how he gets himself and his team pumped up for games. What do you think?
Oh, no. That's too physical. That's too physical, G. I'm all for getting your players ready. That's too physical. Don't put your hands up near my face mask. It's a penalty, first of all, during the football game. Secondly, don't get me ready this way. Let me get ready when we do our team drill before the game starts. Jeff and Foxy know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I have to assume this was okay with everybody involved. It is a bizarre looking moment. Jeff, what are your thoughts?
I just want to see the scoreboard for post game. I think they played the Tar Heels and got pipe, baby. Give UNC some credit. We ain't scared of no coach. He don't suit up, baby.
We welcome you to what's going to be a spirited hour here on Get Up. Coming to you as always live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Jam-packed. Swagoo joins the party. And we had ourselves a thriller on Monday Night Football last night. Let's get right to it. It was the Ravens. It was the Raiders. It was the first time that Vegas had fans in the house in their new ballpark, and they got treated to a show. Pick it up in the fourth quarter. Lamar Jackson was spectacular, but Dominique, every now and again, he tries to do too much.
Yeah, we always hold our breath when he's running because we know we're going to see something amazing. It might be a fumble. It might be an 80-yard touchdown.
This time, Jeff, it gets punched out.
Yeah, got to protect the ball, man. If you're going to pull it down and run it, you got to put two hands on it. Everybody's trying to punch it out and tag off on you if you're the QB.
Costly turnover because that turns into this. Josh Jacobs, Jeff, power football.
Ooh, you got to love it. Didn't even get touched in the hole. One guy touched his leg as he's running through the linebacker core. Great blocking, great finish by Jacobs.
Times it at 17. Ensuing drive for the Ravens. This is getting good. That's Latavius Murray punching it in for an 8-yard score. Murray getting it done last night. The Ravens a 7-point lead, but now we're going back the other way. Dominique, it's Darren Waller.
Oh, the placement of that ball was so special because that was well covered. He put it on the back shoulder. Waller caught it and spun into the end zone.
He had 10 catches. That ties the game at 24. Next Ravens drive. Dominique, there's no one else who does this.
Ooh, this is why we accept some of those fumbles because, oh, Lord, it's scary for a DB in open field because you don't want to get put on a highlight film. That's what he is doing.
Lamar Jackson led all players last night in rushing attempts and yards, and that would set up this. Justin Tucker, he is clutch. That's for 47-yarder with 42 seconds left. The Ravens, a 27-24 lead. Figure they got it in the bag? No, they don't, because Daniel Carlson has other ideas. Meek, this is 55 yards.
Oh, that was powerful. You expect that from Justin Tucker, but this other dude boomed it with the pressure on at home.
That dude is Daniel Carlson. 27, or we're going to overtime in the OT. This is a 3rd-and-4, and Dominique, here's your game winner to Brian Edwards, right?
Oh, it felt like it. I turned my TV off, and then my phone started blowing up because we had a review.
Yeah, take another look. Jeff, it looks like he's going to be down just at the 1.
Oh, he's so close. That knee hits the ground. Look, Gruden's like, yep, that's right.
Well, and it gets awful then because they get stuffed on a 1st down. Now here's 2nd down, and the rookie Alex Leatherwood gets a false start, so that backs him up 5 yards. And then, Dominique, avert your eyes. This is going off a helmet.
Oh, I love it. I don't need to avert my eyes. This is what I need to see. Free money! Tips are picks, baby. Tips are picks.
Anthony Averett with the pick, and John can't believe it. And Lamar says we got another chance. But with 4.5 minutes left in the overtime, it happens again.
Yeah, this was a problem. Losing the running backs was not an issue for the running game, but it was an issue for the protection. Yep. The running back missed the block there. That's what caused that fumble.
But there was still drama to be found because the Raiders, they're in field goal range. So, all right, let's run Carlson back out there and win the game. But hold everything. That doesn't go well. The field goal unit wasn't ready in time.
Oh,
they take a delay of game penalty, so they back it up 5 yards. They go back off. Offense goes back on. And Derek Carr, who had himself an enormous night, 435 yards, and here's your ball game.
Yeah, the Ravens did a lot of blitzing. You have to in that situation, try to get him out, but Humphreys got picked off by his own guy. The big catch, a big way to open your stadium with a big win over a Super Bowl contender.
Zay Jones walks it off with the touchdown. Raiders win a crazy one in overtime. John Gruden, how do we feel?
Felt like I died and woke up and died again, and I was like a cat. I had multiple lives tonight. I don't like playing like that. It was tough, but again, we did a lot of really good things to win that football game tonight.
They did, and let's get Marcus in on the conversation for the first time this morning, and let's start with them. We will dive deeply into the Ravens in a moment. Let's start with them. Carr, spectacular. The tight end is spectacular. The defensive line. Are the Raiders actually good?
Yeah, I think the Raiders are going to be good. I think they are. They're going to give a lot of people problems, and we already knew from an offensive standpoint that they could put points on the board. And they were off early in that first half of the game. Derek Carr and Darren Waller did not connect like they thought they would early in the game. Carr missed the throw for about a 35, 40-yard gain to Waller when he was running a post corner. But you look at this team, man, and I'm telling everybody, like, we get excited about this score, and Derek Carr played well, and Waller, and they made plays at the end of the game. This Raiders D-line dominated this game. That's the reason why they won the football game. And I'm not talking about just the forced fumbles on Lamar Jackson. I'm talking about a consistent pressure from four. Man, look, Nassib was great. Max Crosby was the best player on the field defensively all night long. Yannick got into it. These D tackles, not only did they gave up a few runs, but it wasn't that those stifling runs that the Ravens usually pull off on you. And for the most part, man, when you look at a team from that position, if that defensive line is going to play like that, and they are going to take pressure off those guys on the back end. And the back end did some good things, too. This Raiders offense can put them in a lot of positions to win football games. Now, I don't know how much they will keep this pass rush up, but last night was a beautiful thing to watch, G.
They're in a tough division, obviously, with the Chiefs. The Chargers looked awfully good, and the Broncos coming off a blowout win. So the Raiders get the win, and congratulations to them opening up their stadium. Next stop is Baltimore, because look, we talked so much about what the evolution of this offense will look like, and then all of the problems they've had between Lamar having COVID in the preseason, and then they lose all their receivers injury, and now they lose all their running backs to injury. And, oh, by the way, Sunday Night Football this week, they get Kansas City. So they could be staring at 0-2. How are we feeling about the Ravens right now?
Well, right now, I'm going to that Sunday night game, and it might get out of hand. The Marcus Peters injury was the one. Like, I know the running backs is important, and I agree receivers, but that defense is really important to what they do and how they plan to win. And the way that they play, they put pressure on the secondary because they leave those guys in man coverage all the time. And there is not a team that you would not want to play more than, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
It's like a triple negative, but you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
It's scary to play man coverage against the Chiefs, especially when you are down in the secondary. That's going to be a rough one. They're going to have to figure something else out because they can't blitz Patrick Mahomes like they did Derek Carr.
Well, let's talk about that, and let's put the numbers up here, Jeff, because I know this jumped out at you when we showed this full screen in our first hour today about the way they went after Derek Carr last night with all of the blitzing that they did. The Ravens, that's what they do. They blitz like crazy, and they did it last night. They blitzed 17 times, including the play that turns into the game-winning touchdown when Zay Jones gets behind the defense. The Raiders only blitzed twice last night, to the point that Marcus was making about their ability to get pressure without doing it. Jeff, though, having to blitz 17 times in one game, what does that tell you?
Yeah, it tells you Derek Carr struggled at first. He's 0-6 against the blitz. What is he next time? 9-13, over 200 yards and touchdowns. Why? Because they catch up with it. That's what ends up happening with teams that have to blitz all the time to create pressure, is you realize all we got to do is get it blocked up, drop back, and we can throw. And on man coverage, man, you're asking corners to cover sometimes 60-yard routes to a guy who's running a deep over who runs a 4-2. Like, at some point, that's going to break down. And here's the problem with the Ravens. If you can't get home, you're going to get torched. And on the other side, we talk about how good the Raiders' defensive line was. That's the worst part of the Ravens' offensive line is pass protection. So the two that came up was because a running back who had not been in the huddle. You talk about losing the running backs, how important it is for the run game. The pass game is just as important, y'all, because you got to know pass pro. He didn't pick it up. It's a strip sack that ends the game. Those kinds of things are going to show up for the Ravens because of the continuity and the injuries. It's tough to overcome.
Well, Swagoo, I'm looking at the stat sheet from last night, and you and I have talked so much on this show about the evolution of this offense. And here we are, and part of this is a function of all the injuries they've had. But Lamar Jackson has more carries last night than any player on either team. They're asking him to do absolutely everything. It's a 17-game season now, and he's getting hit a lot. Is this offensive philosophy sustainable for the Ravens right now, Marcus?
Hell no. Hell no. And right. I agree with Foxy about the Marcus Peters injury, but I'll say this too. If you are not going to be in your identity as the Ravens or how you run the football, you expose every part of this football team.
Yep.
Jeff just talked about them trying to protect in the passing game. That's not what the Ravens offensive line does for three quarters in a football game. Mm-hmm. Foxy just talked about how Wink likes to blitz and put these corners in man-to-man. Well, you can do that when you know your offense might have a 12, 13 play drive, right, and yep. you give your guys the opportunity to get to the quarterback. Listen, on the Bryan Edwards touchdown, I did not have a problem with Wink sending pressure. That was just a phenomenal throw and catch by Derek Carr. You had to put that pressure because to that point, they were not creating it with a four-man rush. And look, y'all, like, everybody gonna make this about Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson didn't play for the Ravens, they might have lost by 40. Okay?
Absolutely.
So that's, let's get rid of that whole narrative right now. But the bottom line is the Ravens' identity is so compromised because they don't have that depth in the backfield and they don't have those guys, obviously, to pick up in pass protection. And what people have to understand, when you want to evolve a passing game, it comes from your run game.
That's
and they
right.
don't have that right now. And it'll be interesting to see if they can get that going at some point. Greg Roman got a job on his hands this year because of those catastrophic injuries that they suffered offensively.
He's the offensive coordinator in Baltimore. And again, to be clear, I'm making this about Lamar Jackson, but it's not about Lamar Jackson. It's about
right.
the fact that they're asking Lamar Jackson to be Superman Ooh. In an unprecedentedly elongated NFL season.
I get what you're saying, but it is about Lamar Jackson because it's too late to draft anybody else. This is the roster they have. And
yep.
maybe it's not sustainable, but it's the only way they can win. It's the way that they've been winning up until this point. Lamar is not the MVP every year, but there is no player more important to his team's success. And I'm including Patrick Mahomes mm-hmm. in that. There's no player
is,
that cannot
sure.
be replaced on any team any more than Lamar Jackson. He's the most important player on any team in this.
They're going to have to help him with the run game. They're going to have, right. they have got, you know, Latavius Murray, I know they're bringing guys in. They have got to get that part oiled back up to have any shot because Lamar is going to take too many shots to be able to produce throwing the football down the field. It just doesn't happen. Your body gets beat up too much.
I'll say it again. They get Kansas City this Sunday night. That has been a bad matchup for the
yes.
Ravens historically. They could be staring at an 0-2 start in a very good division. So, with week one now fully behind us, let's do best win, worst loss. Dominique, of every team you saw this week, what was, in your opinion, the best win?
I mean, I thought it was the Eagles. I was most surprised by this win. And I know the Falcons are not that good, but I was not expecting much from the Eagles, especially after we just laughed at their new head coach all offseason and his press conference woes. They came out there and dominated a team that isn't very good, but that's what you do to teams that aren't very good. You destroy them, and the Eagles did.
Jeff, Saturday, what was the best win in your view?
Pittsburgh Steelers, mm-hmm. and it ain't close. Upsetting the Buffalo Bills. Pay T.J. Watt. Guess what? That investment paid off week one. Special teams was the difference maker. Buffalo ran it 51 times with a 10-point lead. Poor coaching on their part. Steelers took advantage, get a huge win.
How about the other side? Graziano, what was the worst loss of week one?
Tennessee Titans got beaten up pretty badly on both sides of the ball by the Cardinals. Chandler Jones, 5 sacks. Kyler Murray, 5 touchdowns. Tennessee, talking to Mike Vrabel when I was at their camp, he was concerned that his veterans hadn't had enough practice time together because they're all nursing various injuries. Possible that showed up.
Swagoo, how about you? What was the worst loss of week one?
It's the Green Bay Packers. Listen, for everything that transpired this offseason, and you come out and lay an egg and lose by 35 to the New Orleans Saints, and Jameis Winston first start in 2.5 years, and you look as bad. Aaron Rodgers, 2 interceptions. He had 5 last year. Okay? So this was bad, and this was a reflection of how this offseason played out, and nobody can tell me different.
That certainly is going to be a big question mark. In fact, we're going to talk a lot more about the Packers coming up in just a moment. Let's get to it here, because is the single greatest fear for Green Bay on the verge of coming true? I will tell you exactly what that is and why this may be the week to worry about it. Plus, of all these quarterbacks, all of whom had huge week ones, we'll tell you why a week one loser actually stood above all the rest. That's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
We look forward to this every week. They're already laughing on the other side of the room. The big Swagoo is here. He will interpret things that people say and tell you what they really mean. And it begins with Urban Meyer, who had this to say after the Jaguars got crushed by the Texans in week one. Take a listen.
I don't really know that word other than, you know, we've all got our ass kicked before. Let's tighten up and go, you know, and that's, I believe in that team. I believe in our staff and, come back to work. Good thing is you're going to earn your captain stripes and leadership stripes as a coach and leaders on the team. But I believe in that. I believe in those guys.
That's what Urban said. What does Swagoo say?
Everybody should be nervous. Everybody should be nervous. When you start talking about belief after week one, G, basically what Urban Meyer is saying is, we going to start playing for pride the rest of the way, guys. And listen, I believe in you, and I need you to believe in me until I leave and go take this USC job. All right, peace.
You've got Nick hysterical over there. It is distracting me. Next stop is Cleveland. We got Baker Mayfield. This is what he said about his late game interception that sealed a Browns loss against the Chiefs on Sunday.
You have to execute critical moments. Nothing else matters before those moments. You know, it always comes down to those 3-4 plays that you look back on and say, wow, if we'd done this differently, it would have worked. So, I'm going to be hard on myself. But go back and attack this week, and you got a home game, and it's going to be a good one.
That's what Baker said. What does Swagoo say?
Bake saying, y'all, look, I understand what I need to do to win the Super Bowl. I'm just not sure if I can do it, okay? I got this dude, Patrick Mahomes, who I know is going to score a touchdown and make me have to go back down and score a touchdown, and I just don't know if I can do it. This is two damn times I couldn't beat this team. We'll find out again because I plan on seeing them.
Okay, so I like that one, and I want to get back to it a little later in the hour. In the meantime, I got one more for you here. This one's Aaron Rodgers. Here's what he had to say about the Packers getting blown out in their opener against the Saints on Sunday.
We, you know, probably felt like we were going to go up and down the field on whoever they had out there. And that obviously wasn't the case today. We played bad. I played bad. Offensively, we didn't execute very well. One game. We got 16 to go.
All right. That's what he says. What does Swagoo say?
Yep. Hey, y'all, I probably should have showed up for a couple practices before we started this season. So we would look like that week one. I'm not worried about me. I'm going to go somewhere and get $150 million. But good luck, Green Bay.
You know what? He's the first one, I think, who's got it right here. It was a week to flush away for Rodgers among the 32 starting quarterbacks in week one. Tell me who had this thing coming. Rodgers had the worst QBR and the worst completion percentage of anyone. The only starter to throw for less was Ryan Fitzpatrick, who didn't even come close to finishing the game because of a serious injury. So it was that kind of awful. And I want to be clear. Well, let's just start with this. So, Agu, we haven't had a chance to get your big picture take on it. All of the nonsense that took place during this offseason, was that part of the issue on Sunday?
If you're paying attention to life, you better say yes, okay? Listen, this is one of the situations where everybody's going to give him a pass because Aaron Rodgers is great. Nobody on this set thinks that Aaron Rodgers is not great. One of the top five quarterbacks ever played, be a Hall of Famer. He's in the conversation, obviously. But when you look at how a team is formed and how a team is built, and you got three former professional football players, we don't love practice, but we know it's a necessity, okay? When a player tells you he loves practice, he's lying. Or,
that's right.
Or he don't play that much on Sunday. That's one of two things happens when players tell you that. But the bottom line is, man, when you have the unquestioned leader of your football team with all of these things going on around him and you show up week one with not a lot of work, all right, everybody gonna say, well, he showed up for training camp and they had practices. These things take a lot of time to develop. You don't just show up in the NFL and play good football. I know everybody thinks it. I know everybody think that because you Aaron Rodgers or you Tom Brady or you Patrick Mahomes or whoever, you just show up and you ball out. No, continuity takes place. Bakhtiari was out. They played a team that was hungry. They played a team that wanted to show and highlight that Jameis Winston was the guy going forward. The Green Bay Packers offseason absolutely affected week one. Now, here's my thing. How long does this go on? Because if it goes on too long, you might find yourself out of the playoffs with 6-7 games left. And we all know how that's going to turn out. It's going to be the greatest thing for us because we're going to be able to talk about it. But it's not going to be good for this organization.
Can you let somebody else talk, please?
So, my bad. Go ahead. I was having fun.
They get the Lions this week. And the Packers, look, they have – The best thing they have going for them at this particular moment is that the division, I think we all think, stinks. But I think Swagoo brings up the biggest point, that if this thing starts to get sideways, the one thing that we wondered about, with everyone knowing that Aaron is going his own way next year, is does it start to splinter?
Yeah, I mean, I think the offseason point is an important one, but I don't think that this season falls apart because Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. He's going to come out there and they're going to put something together. The division, they're going to get in the playoffs, but we'll see what happens when they get there. And I do think that every year it's a new team, and that's what you have to understand. If you don't get to bring anything, any of your skills from last year or any of your plays from last year, you can bring them over, but you have to start over and understand that the roster is new and there's turnover.
I think you're talking about like a hypothetical, though, where it does go bad. And I'm sitting there like 4-7, and all of a sudden he's like, this last dance thing isn't happening. Nah. So what happens then? Does he check out? Like, what goes on if that happens?
And do they consider it? At that point, are they thinking, we know he's leaving. We got to get this Jordan trade Love deadline. Guy ready to play.
Yeah.
I'm not even necessarily thinking trade deadline, or I hadn't thought of it till you just said it.
Oh.
But I am thinking, do they at some point start playing Jordan Love? Now, this is all obviously insanely premature. I get it.
Very.
But, okay.
Very, very.
Listen, you tell us what you're
worried
about.
To worry about the Packers, the last guy to worry about is 12. He is a competitive son of a gun. He's going to come back and he's going to get his game right. Their issue was Lattimore locked down Adams, locked him down.
Yeah.
Their offensive and defensive line got rolled. Mm-hmm. And so you have two. Lindsley's gone to the Chargers now, their old center. Bakhtiari's hurt. Swagoo talked about that. But when you look at this football team, the development of it, they let go of their defensive coordinator last year. They were a top 10 defense. Now they're trying something new. They got to get a lot of pieces and parts fixed in a hurry. The best thing is the division they're in. The biggest problem is not do they make the playoffs. It's can they win a Super Bowl? Right. And right now you would say no until the development of those other parts, not the Aaron Rodgers part. They got to get the rest of it fixed to win a Super Bowl. And that's all that matters. It's the last dance. Nobody cares if you make the playoffs. You got to win the Super Bowl to make this thing work.
Yeah, again, they play Monday night against the Lions in what shapes up. But the Lions probably had the best performance of any team in the division in week one with that comeback against
the NFC is better.
It's a bad say
the
again.
The NFC is better than it was last year, too. Just in case anybody wondering.
That we might not have expected it to be. All right, let me pause briefly on that thought. Coming up, the clock is ticking in Chicago. The question is, if not now, then when will the coach make the change? We'll give him the answer next. Let's get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
It's Monday Night Football!
Lamar under pressure.
I taught him that at the Manning Passing Academy.
Jackson will throw for the touchdown. Hollywood hits Las Vegas. Carr dips it in and it's Waller. He spins into the end zone. Four quarters are not enough to decide it. And it is Edward.
Yeah, he knows right there. You can see it.
Carr throwing off the fingertips and intercepted. Jackson trying to get out. Can't do it. He's taken down and it's out. And the Raiders have recovered it. All alone is Zay Jones. And the victory in overtime for the Raiders. And this celebration. elation is for real.
A season worth of thrills and chills in one game last night to finish up week one. Derek Carr helping the Raiders turn the tide again. He turned it himself. He was 0 for 6, throwing the ball down the field in the first quarter. Finished the game 9 for 13 for over 200 yards on those throws, including the game-winning pass. An absolute thriller on Monday Night Football. Meanwhile, Dan Graziano, lots of news out there, most of it about injuries. What's going on with my Jets?
Yeah, left tackle Mekhi Becton, bad injury, dislocated kneecap. He's going to have to miss a significant amount of time. Jets have a little depth at the position, right? They can move George Fant over there, promote Morgan Moses from the bench to right tackle, but obviously Becton a big part of the protection for rookie quarterback Zach Wilson. He's going to have to do without him for a while. Washington's football team is going to have to do without Ryan Fitzpatrick for a while. As we mentioned, he got injured, hurt his hip. He's going to miss several weeks, 6 to 8 weeks thereabouts. They're going to go with Taylor Heinicke. They do not at this time plan to bring in other quarterbacks, and everybody will talk about a very prominent one that used to play for Ron Rivera, but right now that is not the plan. They like Heinicke. They think he can help them win. They'll rally around him, and they'll reevaluate if they need to, but right now that's the plan. And then the Dallas Cowboys, you know, they're getting a little healthier on the offensive line. Zach Martin comes back yesterday from the COVID-19 list, so he should be in good shape to play this week. Of course, Lyle Collins out with the suspension, so they're down a man over there at right tackle. But Martin will be a big help to them as he comes back off the COVID list. Didn't play, obviously, last Thursday night.
And so just sort of taking that into account with the Cowboys on the brain and looking at week one in its totality. So I'm going to do a little tell me I'm wrong here. I want to see if anyone disagrees with this because, you know, we live in a world now where Thursday night feels like so long ago, it's kind of hard to remember that it was a part of week one. But if I were to make the following statement, you tell me if you would disagree with me. Of all of the players who played in the National Football League in week one, the best was Dak Prescott. And I say that, and most people think that I hate the Cowboys, which I don't, but I'm not Dominique. I'm not like a member of his family or a member of the fan club, but I'm just watching and calling it like I see it. Marcus Spears, if I said the best player in the National Football League week one of this season, all things considered, was Dak Prescott, would you tell me I'm wrong?
All things considered, I would tell you you're right, G, because of the circumstances that Dak went through and being away from the game so long. And also, I take into account that he played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense as well. So, yeah, I would go with Dak Prescott as the most impressive performance based on all of the circumstances.
I don't even need to ask you, right?
I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad about Cousin Dak. I'm just happy that the rest of you are finally coming around to see that he is the real deal, like I've been told y'all. But you have to mention Chandler Jones also. He had 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles.
That's the thing,
that's
right?
Pretty impressive.
Like, I'm not going to say anything bad about Dak either. It was amazing. But, you know, you ask a question like that, I like to lean toward guys who won the game. Right? I mean, Chandler Jones was the most impressive. I mean, Joe Burrow's performance for Cincinnati. Right. And I mean, like, there were some performances this weekend that were as impressive as Dak's, but also came with a 1-0 record.
Not as impressive. I mean, that's the point that I'm making. Dak did this under those circumstances against the best team in the NFL that as the season goes on, we're going to start talking about whether they can put together a perfect record this year or
Roz,
not.
Roz, don't defense, nobody need your logic?
Don't nobody need your logic, Dan Graziano. Everybody needs some logic.
No, we don't.
It's week one, overreacting.
Bringing all
logic
this facts and stuff like that in here. We don't need that. All right, then let's get to the other thing everyone's talking about, because no one is going to argue that anyone on the Bears had the best performance of week one in the NFL, and certainly not their starting quarterback, Andy Dalton. As the Bears lost their opener to the Rams 34-14, the rookie Justin Fields did mix in for a few snaps and had a rushing touchdown. So Matt Nagy was asked, what Dalton gives the Bears that Fields does not, is what he said.
You know, without getting into the comparisons too much, I just think that right now when we're evaluating Andy, that I thought he did a good job of being able to put us in good situations and then using Justin when we did. Justin did well, too.
All right, Marcus, what is your reaction to that?
It's insulting. It really is, G. Like, I'm telling you, man. Like, I saw Zach Wilson go out there and play. I saw Mac Jones go out there and play. I saw veterans not pick up a blitz. I saw veterans get hit hard. Right. I saw offensive linemen communication with their quarterback not do well. And I still saw him in the game. And some of those teams actually won. Look, Andy Dalton wasn't bad. Andy Dalton wasn't great. Andy Dalton was just meh. He threw the ball fast. He got it out of his hands. He put together a few drives, but we all see the difference when Justin Fields came in the game. And don't listen to us. Listen to his teammates. Watch how guys respond when he's in the game. Watch how multiple you can be offensively when he's in the game. But Matt Nagy, you gon' do you, bro, because you're gonna be watching Justin Fields with the rest of us if you keep this same plan going for a long time this season.
What do you think, Nick?
I mean, you said Andy Dalton wasn't good. Andy Dalton wasn't bad. Andy Dalton was Andy Dalton. That's what you expect when you get Andy Dalton. But when you have a team that has holes on the offensive side like they have in Chicago, you need someone who can lift that. And we hope that that Justin Fields is that. But also the reason why I don't like them not playing Justin Fields is, like you, Greeny, I think you're leaning in this direction also. You get better by playing. And if you watch that Jets game, by the end of the game, Zach Wilson was better than when he started that game. And Justin Fields, 3, 4, 5 plays a game, it's hard for me to see that same match.
Here's the thing that bothers me, Dan, because I know you're talking to Matt Nagy last week. And the thing that bothers me is sometimes this gets positioned as though it is an either-or proposition, as though it is these two things are diametrically opposed. Either we put Justin Fields on the field now, or we pay attention to his long-term development. Like it is a given that we are going to stunt his growth as an NFL player by putting him on the field now. And that's the part of this that bothers me.
Yeah, I agree with you. The thing to realize is the Bears have made a plan. Like, it might be a bad one. Like, they might have gotten it wrong.
They've had a lot of bad plans.
They made this plan, right, in the offseason with Justin Fields when they drafted him. And so they have an idea. That Nagy was telling me they've gamed out scenarios. Right. If this happens, this happens, this happens. What are we looking for? What do we need to see? So, could they make the switch today? Of course. They could make it during your radio show. They have something to talk about.
Yes.
But could it be another month, too? I mean, I think at this point, whatever their plan is, they're determined to stick with it. And Dalton gives them
Marcus,
they want.
Let me throw at you the logic that you will hear from the few people I know in Chicago who are defending this. It is, that offensive line is so bad, you can't put the kid back there because they're going to get him killed. What do you say to that?
Did we watch Trevor Lawrence play football Sunday? Like, listen, man, don't tell me nothing. Don't nobody tell me a damn thing about why Justin Fields shouldn't be playing. He's the best option for the Chicago Bears to win football games. Don't tell me about the offensive line. Don't tell me about blocking. Like I said before, G, it is Matt Nagy's job to have Justin Fields ready to play throughout the course of each and every week. It's Matt Nagy's job to have this offensive line with the understanding that we have a rookie and he designed and called plays to put him in a great situation to play. Let me say this, too, from a football standpoint, because I get emotional about this because it's dumb. It's one of the dumbest things I've seen since I started working here at ESPN, okay? David Montgomery is a good running back. What about the RPO with Justin Fields? What about creating and opening up your offense? He can throw. He can run. He's athletic. And last time I checked, last night when we watched Lamar Jackson play and they dropped back to pass the ball, his offensive line was bad. But you know what Lamar Jackson is? He's athletic and he can run and he can keep his team in the game even when it's going bad offensively. But Matt Nagy want this plan. He can go ahead with it. They promise Andy Dalton something. They in their feelings. They emotional about it. So let him go play. But don't nobody tell me a damn thing about not being ready, no O-line, more quarterbacks are broken than they are made, all of that's crap, all right? What it is, what about the other 51 guys on this roster that's trying to win football games? This ain't going to do it.
I think
I'm sorry, Foxy, I talked too long.
No.
My bad.
You talk as long as you want. And here's the thing, Nick. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
This already happened. We've seen this. Yeah. Matt Nagy had Mitchell Trubisky there. Trubisky is not as talented as Justin Fields, but he had a skill set, and they never were inclined to utilize it. And now it looks like they want to get Justin Fields ready to play in some offense that is not what Marcus is talking about.
I agree.
And this is a problem.
I think the other drawback of this is we don't understand the message that it's sending to your locker room also. Right. We talk about this, and I get very upset when we talk about teams that are intentionally losing or tanking because you're sending a message to your locker room that this season doesn't matter, or that your contributions don't matter. You don't have to come in early. You don't have to stay late because we're not trying to win now. We're trying to develop a future. Like, everyone knows when it's this obvious, that's what they're getting. And I understand you can say whatever you want in a press conference. You can talk to all type of games you want to talk, but your actions speak so much louder. And when you go out there and you don't give your team the best chance to play, and you hear stars on the team saying things like Justin Fields has an aura about him already, like, they're telling you that you are sending them the wrong message, and that's the real difficult thing for me as a player.
Go ahead, Graziano, defend this.
I'm not defending anything. I'm just trying to explain that what you said about they're getting him ready to play in some other kind of. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think they recognize his special skill set, and from their standpoint, they want it to be at its maximum capacity when they put him in. Again, maybe the wrong decision. Absolutely. And they probably know that, right? We could be wrong, but this is our plan. We're in charge of this team. We're going to make this plan, and we're going
to
stick with it.
We will see. This, to me, is right now the most interesting thing that is going on in the entire National Football League. In the meantime, we'll take a short break. Coming up, so much good from Baker Mayfield on Sunday, and then the disaster at the very end. Bottom line, is he good enough to get this team to the Super Bowl? We will answer that question next. Plus, Neek has got his power rankings, and the Buccaneers are not in the top two. Wait till you see the list. It's on the way. You're watching Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and it's time for your Tuesday wake-up call. Brent Musburger, walk us off in Vegas.
He's got Renfro is to his left, and Zay Jones.
Here they come.
And here they come. Blitz is picked up. Jones is open. Jackpot, baby! Vegas touchdown. This time, no doubt. Put it in the W column, baby. This one's over.
Ah, you're listening live to Brent Musburger calling the go-ahead touchdown, the game-winning touchdown. Actually, the go-ahead touchdown was Derek Carr's second in the fourth quarter or overtime since last year when facing 7 or more pass rushers. His other came against the Jets last year, a 46-yarder that kept the Jets winless at the time. An absolutely thrilling win for the Raiders on Monday Night Football last night. It was a week filled with thrilling finishes, although Baker Mayfield would like to forget this one. Played a good game against Kansas City on Sunday, but this huge mistake at the very end wrapped it up for the Chiefs at the finale. And here was the coach in Cleveland, Kevin Stefanski, on the pick.
Ultimately, he knows he has to take care of the rock and has to throw it away there. I know he was trying to throw it away, but has to find a way to get an incompletion for us. Again, he's very hard on himself. He works at this very, very hard.
Bottom line question, because as Graziano pointed out, the Browns' last two games are both against Kansas City. They probably feel like they should have won both of them, and instead they lost both of them. Bottom line, Marcus Spears, is Baker Mayfield good enough to put that Cleveland team past Kansas City in January and into the Super Bowl?
Yes, he is, and he was for the majority of that game. The issue always becomes, Gene, how we think about these quarterbacks, especially the ones we talk about in high regard, is what do you do when you need a score? Like, that's the part of Baker Mayfield I still need to see. Last year against Baltimore, he was able to do it. Lamar just did it after him, who had the ball last. But when you look at these games and you think about where we all believe the Cleveland Browns are headed, these are the plays. This is the time that Baker Mayfield is going to have to make those plays. 21 for 28 and 321 yards. He was moving the ball down the field. Stefanski has a great plan for them from an offensive standpoint. Callahan with that offensive line, they can be dominant week in and week out. But when we talk about the Cleveland Browns now, which is great for the Cleveland Browns, it's in the context of the playoffs and the Super Bowl. And eventually, at some point, Baker Mayfield, like we've talked about with Lamar Jackson, is going to have to out-duel 15. You're going to have the ball last and be able to make a game-winning or a game-scoring drive, because we know Pat Mahomes is going to do it.
Jeff, why are you shaking your head?
Because you don't. Their team is better than the Chiefs team in totality. And listen, as much as you want to make winning a quarterback stat, it's not. And the bottom line is they had opportunities. Their punter doesn't drop the ball. They don't do dumb stuff that shoots them in the foot. I totally agree with Swagoo on the interception. Bad play, immature quarterback. You got to just eat that one, learn to play the next play. But ultimately, Baker Mayfield played well enough for this team to win. The stuff around him kind of collapsed. But I'm telling you, they're good enough to win the Super Bowl.
Three uncharacteristic or disastrous mistakes one way or another. Nick Chubb fumbles. Right. Mayfield can't get the ball out of bounds on that play. And the punter drops a ball. If not for those things, then I think they beat the Chiefs on Sunday.
But those things are called football.
They're going to happen. They're going to happen every week. You can't eliminate that. You try to, but they are going to happen. And I agree with both Jeff and Swag, but I think Jeff's point is the one that I lean more towards is someone's going to have to make a play. I think we accept that it may not be Baker, but they got so many ballers. Like, it could be Landry. It could be Odell Beckham. Yeah. It could be Chubb. It could be anybody on that defense. It could be anybody on that defense. It could be Miles Garrett. Like, someone's going to have to be able to make these pivotal plays because it's not going to be Baker.
Trust your quarterback to do it. Can he do it? The last 3 years, the only quarterback that's eliminated the Chiefs from the playoffs is Tom Brady. Somebody else has to step up and do it.
What are we talking about? Foxy and Jeff, what are we talking about? We know the quarterback is going to have – like, look, everybody is talking about this botched snap or this fumbled snap by the punter. We all thought Patrick Mahomes was still going to score even if they would have got the punt off. What?
I agree with you on that. I know y'all both
Come
defensive
on,
guys.
Jeff Saturday?
No. It ain't going to be like this, man. You ain't dropping the ball in the 12-yard. No, sir. Listen,
Jeff,
sometimes the best play is to give it the other guy. It ain't like they were just lighting him up. He's making incredible plays, rolling to his right with Garrett on him. Pitch and pray, and Hill comes down with, look, I understand he made great plays. Let me square it this way. When I was with the Colts and I was playing the Patriots, they were the nemesis, right? And there was a point in our rivalry where we knew we were better. We got to go out and prove it, and we began to prove it. And once it rolled, it really began to roll for us, right?
Yeah, but how
That's
can
the
you
same
say
thing
that?
From the Browns, bro, and they are better. And again, don't tell me if I punt it, it's a guaranteed touchdown coming back.
I'm with you. Jeff, I'm with you on your analogy up until we realized that the quarterback in that situation was Peyton freaking Manning.
Yeah.
So, like, you're making your argument, but you're also making the argument that it's going to come down to the quarterback at some point.
You had a guy who could stare Brady eye to eye and match him. That's the question. Can Baker do that in a big moment? He hasn't done it in either of the first two opportunities. He may get another chance in January. We will see. In the meantime, we have much more to do here, including Neek's list, and then First Take is on the way. Stephen A. debating Keyshawn. Are the Ravens putting too much stress on Lamar? And Carmelo Anthony joins the show live. Molly, Stephen A. and Key on Get Up on First Take next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and as we finish week one of the NFL season, I know what you're asking. You're asking, who are the five best teams in pro football? Well, I'm glad you asked. Dominique has the fundamental list. Go.
All right. There are no more victories in the world, but there are in my list. Let's go with the Browns at number five. I thought they were really impressive all game. One mistake. Two, maybe three mistakes at the end cost them, but I really like the way Baker was playing. If they get a healthy OBJ back, then I think they're going to be one of the best teams in the AFC. All right, number four, I'm going with the
Cardinals. I love what they did. They were impressive and dominant, frankly, against a playoff team. They were not just beating up on some scrubs out there. The Titans were really impressive. The Titans think that they made some additions on defense to get better, but they could not figure out a way to stop Kyler Murray. And Lord Jesus, Chandler Jones was on the loose. That was a problem for everybody. And so if they continue to play like that, they are going to be a team to reckon with in the NFC. All right, number three. We're going with the Buccaneers here. Now, I know that a lot of people are going to be tough on me for putting the Buccaneers at this spot, but they played the Cowboys. Cowboys are not very good, and they barely beat the Cowboys. So I think that the Bucs are going to be an impressive team as they go forward, but to get in these top two, you need to show me something in week one. And they didn't show me what I wanted to see against a team that didn't even make the playoffs last year. Granted, Dak Prescott wasn't there, but that team is not that good, and they struggle with them. So number two, I'm going with the Saints.
Ooh.
This team had possibly the most impressive win of the weekend, and they also beat up on the Bucs three times last year. Mm-hmm. They lost to the Bucs once in the playoffs, but it wasn't because they got outplayed. They outplayed the Bucs in that game, and they came out with, frankly, a better quarterback from Drew Brees. So I think this team, their defense is still strong. Their offense, I think, has gotten a little bit better with the threat of the deep ball from Jameis Winston. So with that blowout win over the defending or a team that was in the NFC Championship last year, that gets them number two. And number one, no surprise.
Yeah.
It's Patrick Mahomes and the Mahomesies.
Yeah.
They're doing their thing.
You could just put a five after the one, right?
Yes. Because
it's all about 15 being at number one, and no one will argue with that. Let me get the guys in here quickly for quick reaction. Graziano and Saturday. Jeff, is there anything on this list that stands out to you?
I would have put the Seahawks above the Cardinals. I think the Seahawks beat the Colts. They have a deep defensive line. I like Waldron, the new offensive coordinator. He made things happen with Russ, short and intermediate passing game. I would put them above the Cardinals.
Not that impressed with Seattle?
No, I was impressed with Seattle, but I think that he has more respect for the Colts than I do for I don't know why.
I guess because he played there all those years.
Hold on, pan down right here. Hey, look at this Carolina blue, baby. They put them J's on today.
That's outstanding. All right, and I want to finish today. I want everyone to understand just how multi-talented my friend Dan Graziano is. So Sunday, he's covering football games. Yesterday,
this was
at his home. What is going on in this picture?
Well, there was a nest of wasps in the window. My son said he didn't want to sleep there anymore until we got rid of them. So, look, I wasn't getting stung.
So,
covered up, right? Spraying the wasps. I was up on the roof, on the garage roof.
Yes. When I hear Dan Graziano and wasp, that is not the picture I'm expecting. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, do you own a ladder?
Borrowed a 10-foot ladder from the neighbor.
A-frame.
It didn't get up there. A-frame ladder up on the garage roof.
I like it.
And then just sprayed.
Greeny has no idea what we're talking about with ladders. Greeny's like, I don't know.
Greeny has a phone. Them. I just don't have any interest in climbing.
I don't know how to work them.
We've had fun. Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow. Continues with First Take right now.
I've seen them.